this Sabbath we'll have a combination of different things. And first of all, the question came up that in a church service, a Church of God service, someone met a man who had tassels. And that was not the Green Bay Packers, you know, why they spread their hands. But it was because they were following some things of Judaism. And some of the things taken from the Bible. Now, it's like everything else. The Jews have the Bible, the Old Testament. They take it, but they add to it. See? God says you're not to add to or take away from. All right? Now, here is one of those things, and I think it's interesting the way it's connected. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 29 so we get the story flow to find out where we get the tassels. All right? Numbers 15. Numbers 15. Now, remember recently we covered about 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and the administration of death. And the sum of that was that within a sovereign territory of a state or nation, you cannot have two sovereigns. And a sovereign is one who makes laws. So you have a sovereign nation. They make laws. Israel was a sovereign nation under God. He made the laws. So he says, Numbers 15, verse 29, and you shall have one law for him who acts through ignorance, for him that is native among the people, children of Israel, and for the alien that resides among them. Everybody has one law, one standard. Now, you look at this in relationship, little sidebar here, to Sharia law. See? And our Constitution, when it was written, was not entertaining or contemplating Islam when it was written. It was written as a bulwark against Catholicism and strict Protestantism of the Church of England. See? Now, the Church of England persecuted Sabbath keepers and drove them out. And if you read the history, Oliver Cromwell, he was the one who made the crown submit to the fact that the crown does not have God-given rights to do anything they desire. And that is true, because for the children of Israel, the king had to obey the law as well. And so he started a rebellion, and actually the rebellion succeeded quite well, and they ruled England for 20 years. And during that time, they kept the Sabbath, they outlawed the pagan holidays, and of course, it only lasted 20 years. So now, you have a situation here. One law. Now, verse 30. But the one who acts presumptuously, whether of the native or of the alien, the same blasphemes the Lord, then that one shall be cut off from among his people. He's either told to conform or leave. Cut off from among the people means you're cut off from God's blessing. That's what it means. Because he despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandments, that one shall be utterly cut off, his iniquity shall be upon him. He cannot come to the priest, he cannot come to the temple, he cannot bring an offering of forgiveness, unless he shows himself willing to keep the laws of God. Verse 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath. I'm just doing this to keep warm. Okay. Surely the Lord wouldn't want me to be cold. Maybe he would, so you would remember next week, get your wood in on time. Okay. So this is in connection with the Sabbath day. Now, the reason this comes down so severe is because you go back and read all the rebellions that the children of Israel did with the presence of God there in the cloud in the day and the fire by night. God was there. The giving of the manna, so they had manna every week, 6 days, for 40 years. Now, as you can imagine, there was not too much variety in your diet, because they also had this. They were not to eat bread until they came into the promised land. So they had manna, bread from heaven, so you could eat it uncooked, cooked, baked. You could make donuts out of it, deep fry it. You could make little loaves out of it and bake it. But it was manna. So here he's out there gathering these sticks. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation, and they put him under guard because it had not been clearly said what should be done to him. And the Lord said to Moses, "The man shall surely be put to death." Now that's rather harsh, isn't it? What is the wages of sin? Death. All right. Now, you also have this. How soon do you think this would have gotten around in the rebellious congregation? That if you go out there on the Sabbath and pick up a few sticks, that's all right. And then what would you have? More and more and more. Mm-hmm. So he said, "Be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." And all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died even as the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel." Now you would think, I mean, stop and think about this for a minute. What would they do every Sabbath? They would cease from doing what they should do. What did they do every 6 day? They went out and they gathered twice as much manna, right? Everybody did this. Remember, when God first gave this, in Exodus 16, there were some who went out the following Sabbath looking for manna on the Sabbath. Now, he didn't execute them, but he told them, "How long refuse you to keep my commandments?" See, now, that's associated with the Sabbath. So here, we have the Sabbath day involved in this instance. So he's going to give them a little reminder. "Speak to the children of Israel and command them that they should make fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, so that they may put on the fringe on the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be to you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, so that you do not seek after your own heart and your own eyes, which you yourself wantonly go after, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy to God, to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." All right. As we know, that didn't work. And why didn't it work? Well, they were never given the Holy Spirit. So we see that here in Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter. Okay. Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5. And Moses reiterated the Ten Commandments again. Then he also rehearsed the time when God spoke the Ten Commandments, and the people said, Moses, you go to God. We'll listen to you. We don't want to hear the voice of God. So that's what verse 27 recounts here. Deuteronomy 5. You go near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and you speak to us all that the Lord our God shall speak to you, and we will hear and do it. Now keep all of these things in mind when we look at this one instance, you see. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me. Now here's another whole lesson in the whole thing, too. Will God listen to you and take you up on your word? Yes, he will. He said, I have heard the voice of the words of this people which they've spoken to you, and they have well said all that they have spoken. They're well-intentioned. They mean good. And of course, every time there is sin, what happens in our minds? Now, you've experienced it. I've experienced it. We still experience it, which is this. Whenever there is sin, we justify it in our minds, don't we? Because every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Okay? God will understand. Yes, he will understand. But don't tempt God. See? And so God said, verse 29, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep my commandments always, so that it might be well with them and with their children forever. See, God didn't give them the Holy Spirit. Now, this leads in to some of the things that we can talk about here in just a bit. But let's continue on and see what God says. All right? Go say to them, go into your tents again, but as for you, you stand here by me, I will speak to you all the commandments and statutes and judgments which you shall teach them, that they may do them in the land which I am giving them to possess it. Now, we need to think about that in relationship to where we are today. See? And hasn't it been said that we've been given the finest parts of the earth, the choicest ground for food and agriculture and treasure and things in the deep, etc.? Yes. God is the one who puts the nations where they are. Okay? Now, God then expects this even of the modern descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel, because as a nation and promise given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he still deals with us according to what's in the Bible. He deals with the church with a higher standard and judges us with a higher standard. The people and the nations and descendants of Israel, and as a matter of fact, all nations of the world, are held to a standard of keeping some of the laws of God. But Israel failed to teach them the true law of God. So God has had the Bible spread through the whole world so that more and more people can understand the Word of God. And it has to be in every generation. So here in the end time generation, God has given his Word more available to more people than at any time in the history of the world. Now, the nations that follow the laws and precepts is found in the Old Testament, like Paul says in Romans, the second chapter, they are a law unto themselves, and God recognizes and honors that, even though Israel failed to really teach them the way that they should. Now, verse 32, you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live, that it may be well with you, that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess. All right. Now let's read a little bit of chapter 6 because this becomes important. See, God wanted Israel to be the model nation for the whole world. And the only one time that was really done was when Solomon first took over the kingdom from David. And all the kings of the earth and the people came to hear Solomon's wisdom, and at that time Solomon was faithful. Now, as we read these verses, I want you to think about what has happened recently with all the catastrophes that have happened just this year, just to the United States of America. Okay? Now we can chalk up what? 3 hurricanes? Yes, we can. Isaac, Irene, and Sandy. We won't go through Deuteronomy 28. I have that online with at Church at Home, the blessings and cursings, so you can download that and you can listen to it. No use going through that, but you will see that everything there is listed has happened. And God talks about the whirlwind. What is a hurricane? A whirlwind. Giant size. Okay? Now, God wants to do well for people. And there are times when things go well for people, even though they're not called to salvation, because they keep some of the laws of God. And the more of the laws of God that they keep, the more that they will be blessed in their physical life. However, let's think about the people today, the way they act, the way they behave, and how they have treated God. So let's read it here, verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, so that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that you might fear the Lord your God. And as we go through, ask yourself the question, have we as a nation been fearing God? Okay. Keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded you and your son and your son's sons, all the days of your life, so that your days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be diligent to observe it, so that it may be well with you, that you may greatly multiply as the Lord God of our fathers has promised you in a land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, our one God is the Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. Now, it's not there today. And you shall diligently teach them to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them upon the post of your house and on your gate. And it shall be, when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you great and goodly cities which you have not built, houses full of every good thing which you did not fill, wells which are dug which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you shall eat and be full. Then beware, lest you forget the Lord your God, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now, the whole story and history of the Old Testament is that the children of Israel did not obey God. So in every generation, what happened? They had wars. Every generation, they turned their back on God. every generation did not learn the lesson from the generation before. And so I remember someone asking me and saying, well, why do we have all of these wars? And why do we have all of these problems? And the answer, I said, is right in the Bible. If we would follow God, if we would do the things that he wanted, in a letter of the law, we would be blessed. But what happens? And I think the reaction that we see back there with this latest hurricane is a mixture of good and evil. There are people willing to give. There are people willing to come and help. And I just can't get this out of my thoughts. There were electrical crews from Alabama that worked on high power lines and restoring electricity and things. And of course, they've had a lot of experience with the tornadoes they've had in Alabama and down south. So they got up there to help them in New York and New Jersey, which I'm sure was the kindness of their heart, felt a duty to do so. And God says, one of the principles God says there, if you see your enemy having been trapped under his fallen ox or donkey, you will go help him, and you will get him out from underneath. So here, they see their fellow countrymen needing some help. So they drive the 1,400 miles to get up there, and the Union men said, get out of here, you scabs. See? So there's the good. There's the evil. Okay? Now, let's ask a question. You look at the population, wherever these things hit, and it's hit the whole nation. We've had drought in some places, just like God said. We've had floods in other places, just like God said. We have had windstorms and hurricanes, just like God said. We've had destruction, and there have been warnings. There have been warnings, many, many, many warnings. Get out. Don't stay. Well, one man decided to stay with his 13-year-old daughter, in addition to others. Now they don't even know where they are. And the destruction is so absolutely unreal. So here are all those people out there. Let's read another section. Come to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. Now, let's ask the question. Where are the minds of these people on God before this event happened? Well, their actions show it wasn't. Okay? So God sends some correction. And here's what we need to learn out of it. Because here's the whole thing here. Because what you have right along the East Coast, you have the highest number of the most wealthy people in the world. You have the highest standard of middle class. You have all of these things there, all of these homes. See, now these things come along because that's where their hearts are. Their hearts are not on God. So this is a wake-up call. So God again says here, the first part of Deuteronomy 8, verse 1, all these commandments which I command you this day, you shall be diligent to observe and to do, that you may live, and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember all the ways. Now he's saying, remember everything you went through. Okay? And all of those going in were those who were 20 or younger when they came out of Egypt. So they had 40 years of watching all of these things of God. He says, remember. But he did this to know what was in your heart, to humble you, to prove you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and allowed you to hunger. And he fed you with manna, which you did not know, neither did your fathers know it, so that he might make you to know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. So as we go through here, let's ask the question, is this what the people were doing there? Well, no, they were all preparing for Halloween and the parties and trick-or-treating, and so that's why they called this storm the Frankenstorm. Because it was a combination of two other storms coming out of Canada down over the northern part of the Midwest, and they met right there in New York City. Okay? Your clothing did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. Now think about that. Think about how many people there, and I don't know, but if it's anything like Americans, you open up your closet and you got a lot of clothes there. Now, maybe you're not like Imeldo Marcus with 3,000 pairs of shoes. But how many pairs of shoes do you have? For the women, all the dresses and skirts and blouses and socks and shoes and everything like that. And most are so spoiled, they open up the closet door, and it's all full of everything. And they say, I don't have a thing to wear. And I know even my wife, Dolores, she has bought some things and has hung them up in the closet. And so one day she puts it on. I said, oh, I haven't seen that before. Oh, I've had this for a long time. Really? Yeah, it's been hanging in my closet. Hey. Okay. Where are all those clothes now? Closet's gone. They're gone. Everything you work for. Everything you struggled for. Okay? Now, some people were spared. Some lived in different locations. So we can't say that those who received the most destruction were greater sinners than anybody else. See? Because that's what Jesus warned us of. But why did it come? An opportunity for repentance. Okay? Isn't it profound that it came upon the section of the country that is most heavily Democrat? Now, this is not against Democrats. But maybe some of the Democrats need to consider that your leaders really wanted to get rid of God at your convention to state everything you stand for and vote for, right? To get rid of any reference of God. And there was enough of an uproar that they had to put the name of God back into the plank. But when it was finally deviously added back in, if I might mention it that way, there were those out there shaking their fists because it was put back in and booing God. Well, you remembered God, but not the way he said. See, so isn't it interesting that the most socialistic states, the most Democrat states in this country got visited by God? Now also, think on this. How many watch the History Channel? I know we all do. Sometimes there's nothing else to watch. Okay. Have you watched the series of programs where they're tracing about all of the monuments and artwork of New York City and all the things that were written about that? And all of these strange things that indicate that the occult is behind it. And so they searched out all the main places in New York City and even the Statue of Liberty, and the experts got together and they talked about it. And their final conclusion was, because all of these things are there, asked the leading expert in occult, after considering everything that we've discovered about New York City, Would you say that this city is dedicated to Satan the devil? And he said yes. Okay? Well, let's turn the coin on the other side. Is it dedicated to God? Where has most of the lying and cheating and conniving and stealing taken place? Wall Street. The high-rise office buildings. Amazing, isn't it? Okay? The Twin Towers. Okay? That was just one instance. There are more destruction with this hurricane than the Twin Towers.
Oh, yeah.
See? So all of those things are there. It's amazing. Now, we'll cover some other reasons why these things have come upon the land. All right? So God says, you consider that the Lord chastens you. Well, this is chastening from God. Did they lose some lives? Yes, they did. Can God take care of that? Yes, he will. But you won't know how unless you understand the plan of God. So God says, as we covered here, you'll keep his commandments. All right, verse 7, for the Lord your God brings you into good land, land of brooks of waters, fountain depths, spring out of the valley and hills, land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you shall eat bread without scarceness. Well, we have so much food that we feed a great portion of the rest of the world. And look at how spoiled we are with our food. Our cupboards are full and we open it up and look at it and say the same thing we do with our closets filled with clothes. We have nothing to eat. And on sports day, okay, here's a promise. You shall not lack anything in it. Have we lacked anything? No. We throw away more food. So what happened during this hurricane with the destruction of homes and people out of their homes and everything? Well, some of them are even doing what they call dumpster diving, looking for food. Weren't prepared. Whatever they had was all blown away. So you see, you can't depend on everything staying the same. So he said, it is a land whose stones are iron, and you can have brass and copper and tin and oil and coal and all, add all of that to it, out of whose hills you may dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, are we full? Yes. Read Deuteronomy 32 about Jeshurun waxes fat. And I think there's something to the obesity we have today. Then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he gives you. Be thankful. Were people thankful? I imagine a good number of them were thankful that they were still alive after that. See. But now let's see if there's going to be enough repentance that they will forsake their ways and turn to God. One thing for sure. There are going to be a lot of people not keeping Halloween. That's already passed. There are going to be a lot of people not keeping Thanksgiving and Christmas. They should keep Thanksgiving, especially if they're alive. But we need to thank God and bless the Lord God for the good land which he has given you. Now here is a warning for human nature. We already read it earlier. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God in not keeping his commandments. And what's the first thing that people forget? The Sabbath. Remember what we read? Numbers 15? That was tied to the Sabbath breaking? Okay. Now, you see, it's just like Ernest said when he takes people to their medical appointments. And they're all religious, a lot of them, one way or the other. And they all keep Sunday, at least most of them. Have you found a Sabbath keeper yet? Just the driver, huh? Just you. Okay. And you ask them about which day should we worship on. And they say, Sunday. Which day is the Sabbath in the Bible? Well, that's Saturday. So they all know. They know. But yet, in the distress of their sickness, they don't connect that with what God has said. They still want to go their own way. So this is why we have these things come along. See? You can read all of Deuteronomy 28, all of Leviticus 26. All of these things have been happening. Okay? Now, do not forget, verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built goodly houses and lived in them. Is that true today? You look at the homes of some of those. You look at the homes of the so-called emerging middle class in India. Those are lean-tos with electricity. That's about it. We all live in goodly houses, whether they're by the standard that we look at the world, not so goodly. But if God is there and you love God and you honor God and you thank God, you have more than the wealthiest with all of their mansions and everything that they have, you see. Because this is what we do. We get too busy for God, but we demand from God all his blessings. We demand from God no troubles. We demand from God that he bless our lives, that he bless our holidays, that he help us cheat in business. You know, see. And how about those shucksters who come and take money from little old churches on Ponzi schemes and take away millions and millions of dollars? They've done it to black communities, to Hispanic communities, to white communities. I don't know if they would dare do it among the Muslim communities because heads might be quickly removed. So I don't know. Okay? But the exploitation of men and women in slavery-type situations is still evident in many places in the world, and God's judgment is going to come. God is long-suffering and merciful, and he doesn't want any to not understand. So he doesn't bring it immediately. God works this way. You sin, if you have enough consciousness of what is right, you have a guilty conscience. And you say to yourself, oh, I'm not going to do that again. Okay? God will accept that. So however people in the world conduct themselves. But they need to come to the point of remembering God. That's what he says. He says, don't forget, and he says, remember. Now let's continue on. Verse 13, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, do we have that? Yeah, look at our stockyards. Yeah, look at all that we had. What happened because we weren't thankful with that? Well, we just experienced a drought in which they had to eliminate thousands and thousands of cattle and goats, okay? And your silver and gold is multiplied. Well, we don't have that today. And we've spent ourselves in debt because we've forgotten God. And everybody is loaded and saddled with debt. The whole world. And all that you have is multiplied. Now think about this. Think of all the stuff you have in your house that if you were to move, let me explain what happened to us. When Dolores and I were first married, we left Pasadena. We had the back of the car full, all the clothes hanging up on this crossbar in the back. We had the trunk of the car full. And we drove up to Eugene, that's where I was assisting the minister up there in Eugene, Oregon. And we lived there in a small apartment. We paid $85 a month for rent. It was on the second floor on a street where there was railroad track. And Three times a week, the train would come by at night very quietly with the flashing light, which was right window level from the second story. We didn't have enough for food, so when we visited the brethren, we were thankful that they fed us. Okay. Then I was ordained an elder, and we went over to Boise. Well, when we moved over there, we had the car full in the back, we had the trunk full, and we had a large U-Haul. So we drove over to Boise. So we lived there in Boise for about a year, and then they wanted us to go down to Salt Lake and then hook up Boise and Salt Lake on a flying circuit between the two churches. So we had a moving van come and take all of our things, and we filled it up. So we moved down to Salt Lake City. And, of course, we had our two boys, Jonathan and David at that time, and Stephen was later born down in Pasadena as well as Rochelle. And so we lived there in Salt Lake in a nice two-story home. And, of course, we acquired things and acquired things, so it came time to transfer us out. And so then we had to have a moving van come and take all the things and another smaller moving van come and take the rest. All of our things have multiplied. Now think about it with your kids. They're born, you buy them this, you buy them that, they get a little older, you have this toy, you have that toy, they get a little older, they want this, they want that, they want the other thing, and pretty soon you've got a box of toys. And then you have all of this over here, and they don't like that, so you've got to get them something else. And the other kids down the block get something, so you have to get them that. They have to have the clothes. They have to have the shoes. They have to have the shirts. They have to have all of these things, right? Same way with our lives. And then they grow up and have children, and now the children have children, see? Okay? And what happens? Grandma and grandpa, so here the thing keeps expanding. All that you have is multiplied. Now here is what has happened. This is why we have this all the time. Then you become haughty of heart. And you forget the Lord your God who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You forget God. That's what has happened. We've forgotten God. Even in the things that we used to do to honor God. Even though we did it without honoring the Sabbath. And so look, one of the main economic drivers of the economy is pleasure and sports and entertainment. So we're truly lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So this correction has come because of that. Now, we'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll see what else God has done that is going to bring much more severe punishment upon us if we do not take action.